بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Things that are related to wealth, livelihood, they call it iqtisadiyat. Now presently, that's become the primary concern. The primary concern is the nourishing of the stomach. So the education is also for the same. The work is also for the same. Any profession, any career that's taken up is for the same. Look after the stomach. It may be worded differently. Someone say lifestyle. Someone may say standard of living. Someone may say security. Right? The words may be different, but when the essence of it is the same, stomach. Take care of the stomach. So that has become the primary concern. One wealthy philanthropist is sitting on the top of his building, the balcony, enjoying the view outside. So he saw an ordinary peasant, a person that is doing a small menial job. I look at the tocho. He's not a full-time employed. He's just an informal worker. So he saw the person going across, and he came across a small little river, washed himself nicely, and after washing himself, washing his hands and all that, he caught his food. Food also was very simple, very coarse bread, perhaps some chutney that he had, achar. So he ate that with a lot of relish, 2-3 big rotis, drank some water from the stream, and then he took a brick, put it under his head, and in 2 minutes he was gone to dreamland. 2 minutes. So this wealthy person saw this, and he told his servant, just call this person. He said, yeah, what is it? He said, you see, I saw what happened. You're walking so nice and straight. You are not a young person, you are an elderly person. You ate so nicely and well. You drank the water, and the sleep came with such ease. For myself, he says, I can't eat. Eat, the doctor say I will die. So I can't eat. All I'm supposed to be eating is mince, and that mince has to be what? Just mince, refined and refined 3-4 times, and then boiled in some water or something, and the water that comes out from that, that's the only thing I can drink, and that also about 3-4 tablespoons. That's all I can eat. When I eat anything more than this, the whole system is going to go off. So why I called you is, I want to do a deal with you. See, all this wealth of mine is buildings and properties and wealth. And raising wealth for Africa, I've got. So you take all this from me in exchange of your health. That I earned everything for a lifestyle. I earned everything for security, for I earned everything for some imaginary enjoyment, luxury. But I can't enjoy it now. When I can't enjoy it, rather I have a simple life, where I can enjoy the favors of Allah Ta'ala, and I give away all my lands and do this bargain. So in this day, this has become the primary concern. In Urdu or in Arabic, they call it iqtisadiyat, finance. So, the more the world is progressing, then that concern becomes greater and greater and greater. From the time the child is born, then what security you have got in place for this child? Now he's just born. So you got anything for him, for his studies, any fund for his studies, to have a fund for his studies. And then when he's complete, then have another fund for his youth. And then after that, when he's married, something to start off. And we've got all these things in place. So this has gripped the human mind. This whole concern of financial security has gripped the mind. And when we analyze financial security, then it's primarily the stomach. So the whole effort is reduced to the stomach. As though the other kamalat in mankind doesn't mean anything. The other beauty in mankind, as though when we look at finance, then all these things mean nothing. That's how we've reduced the whole human being. It is just about money, just about financial security, just about looking after the stomach. So the other values of mankind is really not significant. If there is any value, then it is about how secure is he financially. That's primary concern. Now, for this financial security, a man can do anything. He can fight, he can work, he can stress himself, he can steal, he can go do haram dealings, go to a casino, get into interest, rob, make false promises, cheat, do anything, everything what's unimaginable, you can do all these things. Just why? For the concern of wealth. Then, at some time, this type of concern was primarily the concern of a kafir. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. On the day of Qiyamah, or when Jannah will become visible, right? You see in the picture, the culmination of all your efforts. So at that point, the kafir is longing, had I only been in Islam, you know. And these people are enjoying the palaces, the streams, the beauty of Jannah, the comfort of Jannah, like never, like you couldn't imagine. And why won't Jannah be so beautiful? When we look at the comforts of this life, then the essence of the comforts of this life is filth. Some of the purest things is silk, right? Silk also is the saliva, is the spit of that animal, of that insect. That then is transformed into silk. But what is coming from is saliva. Then you look at the honeybee, and what it takes out is excretions. And excretion then is transformed into honey. So these are the best things that we can think about. Honey, natural product, or silk, it's a natural product. But do you see all the beginning, where the beginning is coming from? Right? Then if you look at musk, then that is the blood of the gazelle, buck now, and the blood has turned into. So every comfort, every joy, every comfort and luxury, if you look at it originally, then it was felt. And then it was the grace of Allah Ta'ala that turned that filth into that beauty. But if you analyze it, you are forced to say that this is the filth of this animal, this insect. Right? But look at silk, it's the same. Honey is the same. Musk is the same. You name it and you will find the essence is filth. Then, if you look at your food that you're eating, the grains, then they're all dependent on fertilizer. And that fertilizer, where is coming from? All that fertilizer, where is coming from? Before you could say that, all right, only the ocean is left free of pollution. Before people could say that, right? But now, you look at the sewage lines here, right? Spingo or any sewage line, we are the leading to. And where they're leading, Switzerland, right? Fishing is best in that area. If you ask the fishermen, the sewage lines are running, and the fishing is best there, in that spot. And you see what we're running after. Right? Some 25, 30 years ago, so people were selling lobsters, the big, or a small thing, shrimp, right, you call it. And there's a lobster. So, holiday season, and people are coming from Transvaal, so they see lobsters in big sizes, they are buying. Now, the health authorities, they are worried now, where are they getting such healthy lobsters? So they saw that they're catching those lobsters, and they're pushing them into the sewage line for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they're becoming acid fat, mastana. So fat they come in and they sell it. But now you see every comfort, every luxury, when you look at its beginning, it's worth. Right? The child is looking so beautiful now, right? What he was originally, a drop, fed with the blood of haze, right? He was nourished with. The child was in the stomach, and what was he nourished with? He was nourished with the blood of haze. Now when he comes out, look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, and that is becoming a bundle of joy. See the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Now what we do is we look at it just from that narrow perspective, just what meets the eye, and forget the rest. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the kafir. His heart is absorbed notice. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. He doesn't identify with the hereafter. He doesn't believe in Jannah. He doesn't believe in Jahannam. So the only thing that he relates to is this world. And when this is the only thing that he relates to, so the human mind has gone into this financial security. That's the main thing, primary. So if there is a proposal coming to you, so one of the more important questions, I don't say that's the only question, but the most important question will be, is he secure? Financially, is he secure? That's the biggest concern. How is he financially? Secure or not secure? He's secure financially, then we will give our daughter. So that's become like the primary concern. Everywhere, anywhere, that's become the primary concern. Human values, human sifat, that's become secondary. And this concern about financial security has become primary. Now you all are nodding your heads because you all are young, right? 20 years into life, you all shall also come to the same conclusion, financial security. So this becomes such an epidemic now, it has engulfed the entire earth. The whole world is covered with the same concern, financial security, how security? He must have a good job, must be able to earn, look after. I don't say that that is not supposed to be a concern. But it's not supposed to be a primary concern. The primary concern is إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقًا. Look at the person's deen and look at his ways. This is the primary concern. That if his deen is right, his ways are right, then inshallah his life will be right. And if that's not right, he's just got finance, but everything else in him is not right, then you cannot guarantee that your daughter will be in a comfort zone. He's snapping every now and then, shouting, growling, grunting. So every small thing becomes a problem. Because all you look at is financial security. After that, you look at anything. And even the finance, there is a security in the finance, it doesn't mean that the girl of yours will enjoy. You ask me, I will tell you, and there are girls that get married, right? And the fathers initially got them married because of the finance, right? Then when you hear the stories coming up, and they say, you know, have we got our daughter married to a gareeb, have been much better, poor person. So then they give you the story. Right. Story they'll come up with. The husband will inspect the fridge in the morning and he'll come and see the fridge at night. I have so much of milk, so much of butter, and so much of whatever else, right? And how much was used, where was it used? So the very, very basic commodities, they are checked on. And they say also, you see, you can only become wealthy if you look after the sins. Look after the small things, then you become wealthy. But if you don't look after these small things, you can't see wealth. So now, you go check the fridge first, come into the house, check the fridge, what was it like, and what is it now? And he'll say, you know, I pay for these things here, so I've got a right to come see you. Then you get, see, wealth crazy. Huh? You get that craze coming at a different level. When I showed you this one, this is all basic, authentic to me. Comes to another level, the husband will, every day, every second day, he looks at the electric reading, you know, electricity, the meter he looks at, and the water meter. Every second day he's checking it. How was it today? How was it tomorrow? How was it today? How was it tomorrow? See? So, see, the thing is busting their brains. Everything is hisab. Then you get at the third level where they got the child married into a wealthy family. But then, after a week or 2 weeks, they discovered that she is supposed to be doing the groceries with her own money and she is supposed to be doing all the medicals. So what did he give? Only a shell to live, that's all. With an understanding that perhaps when he dies or something, or you can prove yourself getting intelligent children, then he starts something. So up to that point, he is not prepared to share his finance. He must pay for all the electrical, pay for all the lights, all the water, the groceries, the medical, everything, until you reach a point where you can prove yourself. So now, where this thing starts off where there's a madness, money madness, right? But let us explain, the whole world is going in this direction, money madness. You're not looking at the ways of the person, his habits, his character, his refined manners, not that thing. So, the girl doesn't feel secure. Man is married, he's got wealth, but he's got a young secretary in his business, and every now and then he's chatting to her. For I thought it was only amongst our people, but you look into the wise Sasim, he's wealthy, so he has to go for business reasons abroad, different provinces. So he must have his female secretary, because now, the meetings and all that, but she must be accompanying him. So the wife is like the mama, she's doing all the dirty job, and this female secretary, she's running around the whole world. Going for a sports event, then she's there. Going for a holiday, then she's there. Everywhere, she's coming, she's taking me along. So, you see where the mind went. The mind went only after financial security, and then this is what happened. So the brain is in something else. Sometimes it's temperamental. Small things and break things. If the, for example, the food was not to his satisfaction, then he doesn't think much about just overturning the table and busting all the cutlery, everything, just breaking it. Something didn't happen according to his taste, everything he busts. So the more important thing in man is not the wealth. I don't say we don't need wealth. Wealth is required. But the more important thing in wealth, more important thing in the person is sifat. These values. And the values have to be worked on. And I just compared the Muslim's value with the non-Muslim value. But because the non-Muslim's ways have dominated, right? Has dominated, become dominant. So we all are thinking the same wavelength. Are we thinking, they doing it, so we must do it. They doing it, we must do it. So in every facet of life, this is how we are thinking. That thought has dominated our lives. They got it, so we must have it. Allama ibn Khaldun is an expert on history. So he says, you get a ruling class, and you get the class that has been subjected, right? A lot of places you find out, here South Africa, the ruling class was the Afrikaner, right? Whites. There was a ruling class. And then you get the class that is subjected, right? Ruled. And the thing is happening from old days, 3,000-4,000 years. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَا شِيَعِي إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَا شِيَعِي يَسْتَدْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ. Fir'aun, he claimed supremacy, right? He used his might. So he divided his people. يَسْتَدْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ. So he also thought of, we're talking of affirmative action. So he also thought of affirmative action. We speak about apartheid, he also talks about apartheid. يَسْتَدْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ. So one group is the underdog, they suffer, and the other group must enjoy. The party did the same thing, and affirmative action does the same thing, that one party is treated differently, say the exclusive, and the other party, they must do all the slogging, all the hard work. So Fir'aun did the same thing. Now we have it throughout the world. So one party, one group, the ruling party, they will have all the favors, and others must work. With a bihu abna'um wa istahi nisa'um. So this is how they reasoned. Now Allah Ta'ala speaks about them. See, now sometimes you get in a bigger version in worldwide, right, there is some type of a world conspiracy, and this is happening sometimes country wise, sometimes in a family, sometimes in a small unit. So one is given the favor, and the other person is made to suffer. This happens everywhere. We think, why that person is favoring him over me. Right? But you don't realize that you're also guilty, and you also, at some respect, you're also guilty. In your little family, one has been given the favor, the other person is deprived, right? And sometimes you will talk and address these things there in different ways. So if there's a son, that's turning a lot of money, right? Like 60,000 rands a month. So the father will talk highly about him. Favors are for him. He comes in preparing lavish dawahs and all that, right? This one, yeah, he's breaking even, but he's not earning so much. He's earning 60,000, and he's earning 16,000. So it's alright, it's for somehow. His ways may be better, he may be more punctual about his namaz, he may be more refined in his speech, his time is spent much better, but he is just like a passenger in the house. And that person is getting all the favor. So the merit is based on what you earn. That's the merit. What you earn is what you are. So you're not earning much, so you're nothing. And you are earning much, so you got all the blessings, you got all the respect. You're an obedient child, you know. You're the favorite, and they'll call it the obedient child. So the whole criterion is based on wealth. And then you get a situation now, when you got the wealth, right, then on the basis of the wealth, you begin to rule your children, right? Got the wealth, so you will do this, and you won't do this. You rule the children. But if it is that the children got the wealth, they begin to rule you. Today you're going here, and tomorrow you won't be going there, right? See, what becomes the ruling factor? All the hadiths that you've come across, Rizallah fi ridhal walidain, all this then is brought and reduced to this wealth. If he's got the wealth, then the father got the right to command. And if he doesn't have the wealth, then the child has got the right to command. See? So the whole thing just narrows up to wealth. Nothing else. And all the hadiths will fit on that. He's a very obedient child, why? He's got wealth. And he's a disobedient child because he doesn't have wealth. So Allah speaks about this mentality of the Quran Sharif. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Again and again, the long had they only been Muslims. But what is their present life? Why they brought this misery upon themselves? ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. So basically, the kafir has got three things in his life. One is eating, right? Lifestyle. يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. So he needs these two things. First he needs what he needs. A standard of eating, good food, very good standard, and enjoyment. So eating and enjoyment. Enjoyment now, it's so many types of enjoyment. Enjoyment can mean cars, enjoyment can mean entertainment, can mean enjoyment can also mean holidays, enjoyment can also mean booking up in nice hotels, bringing up the house, right? Having some security, all is enjoyment. Oh, I seen this, now I need to see this as well. Just to see that a man is spending 50,000, 100,000, he has to go to Turkey with his children. Why? We didn't see that. But now you have to justify it. I will justify it. No, it's called an Islamic culture. Let's go and we'll go there, we'll support the Turkish lira. We'll go there, we'll support the Turkish lira. Muslim country, so we support the Turkish lira. Now you ask him, alright, I know your intentions are to support the Muslims and all that. But you know the hadith says that that person is not a Muslim. You are already satisfied, but the neighbor around the neighborhood, neighbor doesn't mean only the one that's around next to him. Muhammad Shafi says about 40 people, 40 homes. All sides, 40 homes. So that person is not a Muslim. You are satisfied. But the neighborhood is hungry, not a Muslim. So now that became the primary thing. And the neighbor and the neighborhood you are concerned about. So everything will be made Islamic. See, because I say we have allowed ourselves to be mesmerized by a foreign culture. A foreign culture has overtaken us. We mesmerize, we think that, we reason that, we'll see Islam like how they will see. Yeah. Islam will be practiced according to how they dictate. They dictate, okay, you must distance yourself, so you'll distance yourself. And then they'll dictate, but the plane is an exception, there you don't have to distance yourself. The taxi is an exception, you don't have to distance yourself. You got your family life, so there also you don't have to distance yourself. But you see that, you know, in the masjid you must distance yourself. So who's breaking the laws? So he'll tailor your Islam. He will teach you how to practice your Islam. One that doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala, doesn't believe in the Akhirat, no concern of the grave, he will tailor your Islam for you. So if he says something, you must do it. If he does something, that's your Islam. See that culture and how it overwhelms. So now this is the work of a mujaddid. See, what is the mujaddid's work? See, a Nabi first comes and he lays down the rules, the values, the ways, the systems, administration, everything is right, 100%. That's the work of a Nabi. But after all, the Nabi is a man. When he's a man, so his stay on earth will be limited. When his stay on earth will be limited, so after his limit, he leaves. And when he leaves, then things are displaced and misplaced. See, the father, he was around, he knew how to place things on the earth. But now that he's gone, you get the same thing. Now things are misplaced, they are displaced. So the Nabi has to come and replace. See that? When the Nabi was around, then he showed, alright, see a woman now, how must she be placed? The Nabi will show how must she be placed. That's the work of the Nabi, to show exactly where the woman fits in the life and how is she supposed to be placed. So the Rabbi will say, alright, she must be placed at home. Now, exceptions is not a rule. Exception is an exception, is not a rule. Right? So now, the one that is mesmerized by Westernism, he will find an isolated hadith or isolated incident, and then he'll make that the rule. So he'll say, alright, but Shu'ayb alayhi salam's daughters were grazing the goats. So they went out. لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِيرَ الرِّعَى وَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ مُرَأَتَيْنِ. So they went out. So that's the proof that they will bring out, right? So it's an exception to the rule, but the exception will be brought as a proof. So like, this class of people, really, they are on the increase, you see, this class. They want to justify, make things permissible. Mubihin, they're trying to look ways to make things permissible. So they don't realize that they are complicating life for themselves, and for those that are innocent, they are complicating their lives. So now if you tell them, see, these two girls have to leave the house because the father was extremely old. Abuna Shaykhun Kabir. He only got daughters, he doesn't have anybody. And the family business has to run, otherwise they would die of starvation. So they were forced, circumstances had forced them out of the house. Right? Then, in doing their business also, how meticulous they were. وَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ مْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. So they saw a water trough, right? So people taking the water and leaving. And these girls, totally, this whole crowd is here, away from the crowd. So you see the convenience when you're trying to substantiate, you're substantiating to your convenience. You see, they did business, they went out of the house. But did you look at it from this verse? وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ مَرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. They, on one side, تَذُودَانِ تَمْنَعَانِ. They are preventing the animals to mix up. They away. You see that how they are. That's the Nabi. Nabi will show you parameters, he'll show you the place. He'll show you that this is a misplace and this is a place. And again the Quran Sharif brings it out even more clear. See how beautifully the Quran Sharif shows the place of the. They say, لا نسقي حتى يزدير الرياء. That we will only provide water to our animals after all the animals, the shepherds have taken the animals to it. We won't mix up. We won't co-ed. How do you call co-ed? We won't mix up. They've taken and they're gone. So we are sitting on one side, everything is done, then only do we come in. Now, those that are talking about women working and all, do they consider all these points? Do they think about these things here? Sometimes they will quote Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha and say, but Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, she also was a businesswoman. She did mudarabat. They used all these big terms to find the terms and find a way to justify. So the business that Khadija was doing radiallahu anha is no different than an old pensioned woman, right? She's got some money. So she found an investment and she put her money into that investment. Now, that old pensioned woman, when she had that money, right, from her husband or something, so she got the money and she put it in some investment that was now seeing to all her needs, right? Now, do you call that woman a businesswoman? You say yes, just for the security of her wealth, she found a nice investment and she put it there. And she's getting some returns every month to run her business, right? To run her affairs. Now, that is what Khadija was doing. She found some mudarib, someone that can do the work while she's at home, and that person is running the business. Now, the third point is, they're looking at Khadija radiallahu anha. I ask you, pre-nubuwat or post-nubuwat? Khadija was doing all this, but was it pre-nubuwat or was it post-nubuwat? See now how they are misconstruing. See? So that's the work of a Nabi, to put things in place. But I say, with the passage of time, then things are misplaced, displaced. So Allah Ta'ala sends a mujaddid. Mujaddid has to replace, find the place again. I just showed you how there was a misplace here, right? The woman and the misplace. And then someone has to come again and replace, give it the original place. So one is the place of a woman, right? One is the place of the woman. What is a place? So the Quran should be showing what is a place. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ هَذِهِ ثُمَّ لُزُومُ الْحُسْرِ. The stay in your house. Right? The Quran Sharif, the hadith is showing what's the place of the woman. Now, when we get influenced by all these foreign cultures, right? You know, to have a woman's staff is better. Why is it better? Because it's cheaper. So therefore, employ her as a saleswoman, as a secretary, etc. to all these things here. Now, I showed you, one is forced because of circumstance. When a person is forced because of circumstance, that is an exception to the rule. Like in every community, we'll have an average wealthy class and we'll have a poor class. In a Muslim country also you'll find average wealthy class and a poor class. So the poor class has got, they, for them it's alright to use the story of Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam. Because there's nobody to look after the house. So the woman has to go and do all the menial job. They do the menial job and they look after their homes. But in cover. See. So there we got so many Muslims and there's nobody to look after the house. Now you get a case where the man is paying about 20 million rand zakat every year, right? How much? 20 million rand zakat every year. But his daughter must become a doctor. Is that a valid reason? He's paying 20 million rand zakat every year. But his daughter must become a doctor. See, is that a valid reason? See that? See how misplaced. There was a place for the poor person. He's poor, they can't afford it. So go do some menial job, but in a nice concealed way, and then come back home. That was an exception. Don't make that a rule. So you see, what's the place of a woman? Then you get, what is the function of the woman? I know some 35, in fact, about 40 years ago, was at someone's place, went as a guest. So the man tells me, but you know, we can't just reduce a woman just to the looking after the house. What about the treasure that she's got within her? The acumen, the talent, the understanding that she's got. Must we just restrain her, restrict her to the kitchen? Can't she be taken out of the kitchen? See, what he's saying is obvious. Make her a doctor, make her a lawyer, make her so you can realize the good that's in her. I mean, until she doesn't become a money-making machine, then her talents are all wasted. If she's looking after the house, she's wasted. She's teaching good Islamic values to the children, she's wasted. She's seeing that the house is doing namaz on time, everything, her talents are wasted. She's seeing that the children have got the right type of association, behavior, speech, etc., mannerisms, her talents are wasted. Her talents are only used if she became a lawyer, she became a doctor, and she was turning money, whilst the children were all delinquents. But she didn't waste her life. See? So her life is wasted if she didn't go out. She didn't go out. She taught the children namaz, taught them basic taharat, Islamic values, Islamic standards, right? Ways, parda, dress, choice of words, etc. She taught everything. She took a good care of the husband, the house, his guests. So all the Islamic things that she did, she wasted. But when she did everything that was not in conformity with the Islamic spirit, then she's valued. See now, that foreign, alien culture has crept into us, that our thinking has gone all warped. See how the thinking has gone. So I just showed you now, what is the place, then what is the function of the woman. See the function of the woman. The woman must do all these things here. She must look after the husband, see that he's happy. Look after his children, they are happy. Look after his wealth, it's used correctly. Right? He's got guests, and with respect and as an honor, she will look after his guests. Right? To see now, everybody, all the children are coming in the right way, they're thinking right, their behavior is right, their conduct is right, talim is right. Okay? That's her function. If someone is not right, then how to bring him right? See, where we went off is that our thinking was just reduced to wealth. Now look at it, just to get it logical, logical illustration. If Allah Ta'ala save us all, right? And then I ask you, one child is not feeling well in the house. And he's not eating. One day, second day, child is not eating. You tell him, but he's not eating. But he's eating, but very little. I'd ask you, the most pious home, but will it shake the home or not? Will it shake the home? The learned in Islam, and they're showing themselves as Muslims, but will it shake them? Child not eating or eating very little. Just one morsel or two morsels, and that's it, not eating. So, they'll become, how restless they'll become. They'll take him to a physician, doesn't work out, specialist, that doesn't work out, put him in hospital. If that doesn't work out, then they'll take him to an amil. If that doesn't work out, they'll take him to a hakim, and they'll get this child right. They'll go to every level to get this child right. Why? Because he doesn't have any appetite to eat. No appetite to eat, and we are worried about it. Because what happened to him? He'll be reduced to nothing just now. So we're all concerned. But now, by the same token, I ask you, the child has got no appetite to perform namaz. For all the spiritual nourishment, he has no appetite. No namaz, no Quran Sharif, no zikr, not behaving like a Muslim, or conducting himself. So that's your spiritual nourishment. He doesn't have that at all. Not keeping a beard. Anything to do with spiritual nourishment, he doesn't have it at all. Or if he has it, but he has it very little. He has it, but very little. Yeah. Or if he has it, he has one side of it. He has one side of it, and the other side of it, he doesn't have. He doesn't have contentment. I want this one here. This. I need to have this. That contentment, wasn't it part of an Islamic home? You ask him, oh, I don't need to have this. This property, 10 million, then I need to have that. I need to have this thing here. I need to have this thing. I ask you, this is within the framework of contentment or not? If it is not, then are you spiritually sick or spiritually right? If you are spiritually sick, then you need to check yourself out. But the physical weakness and sickness, we are all concerned. Everybody's concerned. Physical, material. Go to this person, ask that person, rise. Get the person right. Right? Whether he's totally sick or partly sick, partially sick, concerned. But if you extend the same analogy on the spiritual side, and he's partly spiritually sick, or completely sick, do we have that fikr? That we had fikr here now. Took him to a doctor, took him to a specialist, took him for a checkup, to an amil, here, there, everybody, we did everything to see that person is right. So, if we are thinking like this, then there is a problem somewhere. There's a mistake somewhere, we have made a serious mistake. And one is to understand that I've got a mistake and work. And one is to have a mistake, but to be on a denial. When you're on a denial, then you've compounded the mistake. For the material, then you're so worried. The spiritual side of it, not worried. And you say, oh, all the hadith will talk about, you know, to treat the person also is compulsory. But I ask you, the treatment only confined to material things or spiritual things as well? This is compulsory, this is not compulsory. طلب العلم فريدة على كل مسلم. So see how we moved. So this is the second function, or the main function. So I showed you the woman place, then I showed the function. That the whole home, in every respect, is going right. Not just in one department. What he's reading is namaz, but the child speaks a lot of lies. Right. Alright, he's reading his namaz, but he womanizes also. He's reading namaz, but he's lavish, wasteful as well. Right. So we're looking at the sicknesses as sicknesses. So now that woman, if she knows her function, then she'll get all these things right. She'll get the child to be content, satisfied, not to complain, not to ask. She'll work on the child, making that. And then you get a philosopher, a thinker of an ummah. Alim Yasab, his mother, that was her. That was her mother. She left her husband, passed away. She was young, still her husband passed away. But now she's working on the children. So how she worked on the children? He made this more Alim Yasab, he became how he became. So his education, to see that his education go well, Ma needed some kitabs. And she complained that I don't have the money. But then she saw that no, this is a spiritual thing. She sold away the most valuable thing that she had, her jewelry, to get her kitabs. See that? She understood the importance. That's life. That's a lifeline. If that thing snaps, the whole house is gone. Then she would make sure, from the age of 6 or 7, she would make sure that the child, no matter how tired he is, but he must do his namaz. Sleep. You know, children, they sleep at that small age, like a log. You can't get them up. Trying this way, that way, can't get them up. She won't listen to any excuse. Right. Then, the third thing that she would inculcate in her children, that you're not going to treat any of the workers with contempt. Any worker, or menial job, your speech, your interaction, how you're going to talk to the person, that we're going to screen out. And if you had spoken to any of the worker with a little bit of contempt, then she'll show her displeasure until he must go and hold her feet and ask that worker for maaf. Until he goes on to the feet of the worker, ask the worker for maaf, and the worker has marked him, then only she takes the child back. When I read this story, I thought, hey, what this woman must be like, a genius this woman. Because on the one side, she got all the hukukullah right, or the rights of Allah Ta'ala right. On the other end, she got the hukukul ibad right. Because forget money, etc., just to talk to the person with a little bit of a disdain or contempt, she can't tolerate this. So until he has not settled the score, until he doesn't correct himself, mother is not happy. Now the mother could, if the mother was a doctor earning big money, could she do all these things here? She's outgoing, running out here, there, everywhere. Could she do this? So she made the refined person when she sacrificed for her children. I must stay here, look after them. Take good care of them. And then she's not worried that they must eat good food or whatever. But they must have that good ways. Now this child will grow up, that he'll be ever making dua for his children, or ever making dua for the mother and the parents. But alhamdulillah, today my mother brought me up in such a way that I don't fall into problems, difficulties, fights, whether it's in wealth, whether it's my person, but I don't fall into these problems. Now that was because of the refined tutoring of the mother. Mother brought that values. Otherwise the mother's value, hey, today now, so much money, go for a holiday. Tomorrow go for Umrah. Then next day must take out the passports. Now, if the mother's mind is running all over the show, can she bring up this child with such refinement? Can she? Ask herself. She can only bring the child with that refinement when she's at home. Nothing, no other worry, no passport, running around here, running around there, running to the bazaar, whatever thing. Just my children, I must look after them. That's my primary concern. Now, her mind is stuck here now. She will try her best to make that. She will burn herself like a candle. She will burn herself just to see that her surrounding, her children is all lit up, all radiant. Now she is dead and gone, but the children are ever enjoying from the efforts of the mother. I put her off, effort, a lot of vigor in the child. So he grew up, and the whole world is benefiting from this one man. Now, Mona's Kitab is such that throughout the world, Arab and Ajam, Arab and non-Arab, everybody is benefiting. Because one woman, she tried, she did her best, and she burnt herself. But then what happened? Now, what Westernism is teaching you, the whole surrounding can burn, but you must be well. What? You must be right. They can die, poverty, hunger, disorder, fraud, corruption, all can die. But you must see that you are all right. They can die, whatever can happen to them, that's not your business. Look after yourself. I remember asking me, I tell you, in school they were teaching, in the 1960s they were teaching these things here. Unfortunately, it was a Muslim teacher. And I know in the year, maybe about 40 times he may have mentioned that, one year. What was the line he used to give? He says, each one for himself and God for everybody. So what is teaching? That time I couldn't grasp it full. I know you should say this word there. I think, what is he talking about? Each one for himself and God for everybody. That means you mustn't worry about your parents, about your relatives, your grandfather, don't worry about anybody. You must worry about yourself. See, from that, probably the 60s now, they're drumming that into your mind. It's over 50 years ago. See? So that was the Western education and the effect it's got. So you see the function, surely the function of the woman, she look after the house, the guest, the relative, the children, the values, the ways, the word, even the word, choice of the word. Is she talking, the child, is he talking with contempt with the workers or something? So everything she's checking, she's screening, she's scanning it out properly. Now, my child now, he is an asset for the whole world. Now, she must be dead and gone, but how pleased she must be, alhamdulillah, I put the right values in this child of mine, and now the whole world is benefiting from his kitabs. See, so that's the function of the woman. Right? One is the place of the woman, one is the function. And Hadith says it, إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ. When he looks, she pleases him. Her behavior, she pleases him doesn't mean only she put lipstick and powder and all that. No. You think she pleases him because she put lipstick, powder and makeup. Right? I say that if you put all these things there, but she pulls up her face, is there any beauty in the room? No. What it means, the way she carries on, the way she conducts herself, that he looks at her and he's very happy. Obliging, listening, showing good face. Right? That's the thing that's to be put into the child. And that's now the standard of the hadith. Nazara ilayha sarratu. Amaraha ata'atu. Today I got some mihman to see that you will take care of them. And when you go away from this, and when you make the woman an academic, what happens? When Ismail, given story, you know, when he go for his inspection. So they went to one alim, it was in Ramzan, some years ago, Ramzan time. They went for that inspection there. Now, Mawlana had to tell his wife that I got one mihman, so let's see that you make something for him as well. That's all, only one mihman. Now, this is about 40 minutes before the iftar time. She went into a frenzy, you know, madness. Oh, I've opened my door. And I got so much of duties and all that. Take this child here. I don't need you. Take this child. He's a madrasa. And he was about to now issue a divorce to this wife. Just one mehman. And she can't take care of him. So see, when you make that child an academic or a money machine, then this is the expected response. This is the expected response. So the children that are growing up at home, you know, so I tell them at the, when they're about 10, 11 years of age, time, see what a woman's function. It's Osman Kadwa, his family. There was one woman, I think you should call her Rasulbai. In those days, you give some other names, right? So the name is not so important. What is important? Today, now, the whole emphasis on the name. Look at this site here, that site for names, all that. Make the person. The name is important, but not so important. But more important, make the person. So if I remember, that Rasulbai must have been about 10 years of age. Either Rasulbai or her daughter. Her daughter was about, they should call her Asulbai. She was Aisha, but in Gujarati they spoil the names. So they should call her Asulbai. Asulbai is about 10 years of age. And unexpectedly, her Nana just pulls into the house just to visit. So she insists on the Nana, you know what? You're not going, you won't have a meal and go. Who's going to do the work? Nah, don't worry, that meal must be done. At the age of 10. So she did the rice, she did the tarkari, the chutney, that's what we call, you know all the chutneys that are. Everything in just half an hour, she did everything by the way. At the age of 10, so that's a function of a woman, see, to entertain all the guests, parents' guests. But she must know, she must have that hour to do all this thing. Oh yeah, she's learning art. How to draw this word here, how to draw that word there. Make an art here, make a... But, bhai, jo karne ki baat hai, unse wo karao. At the age of 9, now you see, they're still doing a coloring book. Putting colors here, bhai. What is the function of that girl? Now, she showed the hospitality, she showed the ikram to her nana, right? And she, in the whole kitchen, she did it just barely half an hour. Now look at this. One is the education you gave, and you didn't train that girl. And one is, you didn't give so much of education, given the right education, not so much, but you put in the right training into this girl. Now she refused to let the Rana leave without him enjoying the meal. And she saw that to his satisfaction, everything is prepared with all that chutneys and all that go. You know, the old days, the chutney had to ground the thing. Not just in the wash machine and 10 minutes, 5 minutes, no. You ground it, you call it, the name is for Imam Dasta. They call it, actually it's Hawan Dasta. You know, like a stone pot, and then you grind the thing. And in half hour she did it. The rice she did it, the curry she did it, she sorted one chicken, everything she did, half hour. Now she said, all this dirty work, I must go slaughter. Now that woman is prepared to do it. See, when they were shown the right values, then she knows, all right, it's my Nana, I must show the respect. I must entertain him, show him love. And how must I do it? How does the Nana feel? If guest comes, what they feel? You know, they've got it. And Swanya said, he missed the plot. One day she said, he missed it. So the function, what is the function? So she must be prepared. Iza amaraha ata'atu. Nazara iriha sarratu. She'll be pleasing if she's obliging, she's cooperating, she knows what to be done at which time. One Mulana comes here, so I told him how he was bringing up his children. So now his children are about 12. So unexpected, some mehman just came in. Mother was busy with something else, she didn't know. She was busy, maybe in bath or something. But for 20 minutes, the children kept her so well. They entertained everything. 10, 11, 12 years of age. So well, you know, they did it. That mihman ceased saying, as they're looking for some girl for our sons. You're looking. See that akhlaq. How to entertain, how to show the hospitality, how to show the respect. Someone just came in. What do we do? Well, he's busy now. Obviously, she's just gone to the bath. By the time she's finished with the bath, it'll be 20 minutes. Now, the mehman, they went into the rooms, oh, we are studying for imtihan and all that, and we need to work for exams, you know, tomorrow the paper. I ask, will they be able to do these things here? So there's hospitality. So it's a time now, we need to analyze, all right, in the light of the hadith, what is the place of a woman, what is the function of the woman? What is the place? What is the function? Are we wasting the child's life? Or will we be answerable to Allah Ta'ala? When the hadith is showing this is the standard. Nazara ilayha sarratu. Amaraha ata'atu. Allah Ta'ala.